so much. Encourage Community Church for welcoming us this morning and giving us the chance to come here and to speak and to share about the ministry. I want to particularly thank Jeff and Jennifer for just extending an invitation. I reached out to them and said, hey, can I in some way just thank your community for supporting the ministry? Maybe go grab some coffee. They said, well, why don't you just come up to service? And so it's a privilege to be here and want to say thank you on behalf of our ministry. Jack and June Landis, who've retired, they led the ministry for a long time. Thank you guys for supporting us and praying for us. I saw our newsletter right out in the foyer, so I'm sure you got to read a little bit about the ministry, and hopefully that newsletter is really informative and helpful as you pray for us. So I really believe and have come to believe that prayer isn't just, you know, something that we kind of want to just tack on, but is really the bedrock and foundation for our ministry being successful, because it's really a spiritual work and not just something that we're just trying to do on our in our own power or strength. So we're asking God to please bless us. So thank you for praying for us, lifting us up, and giving so generously to us here at Child Evangelism Fellowship in Chester County. So this morning, Jeff asked me if I would just provide a ministry update, but also, you know, kind of weave in a message. So that's what we're doing this morning. CEF, I wanted to share a little bit about who we are. I'll just make sure this clicker here works. Oh, there we go. There we go. So CEF is an interdenominational ministry that's focused on reaching boys and girls for Jesus, helping them grow in their faith and connecting them to gospel-centered churches. So that's a little bit about who we are. I've recently stepped into the role of director after Jack and June Landis retired. They led the ministry, like I said, for 27 years. My wife and I were teen missionaries under Jack and June Landis. So as teenagers, we served with them with CEF. And after 23 years in the South, we're back home. So we spent time in Florida, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, and now we're back up here. So we can't tell if we're Northerners or Southerners. So we're kind of y'all. There we go. And so we were in Richmond, Virginia. All our kids were born in Richmond, Virginia. We were there for 10 years. I served as an associate pastor and then took a senior pastor role in the King of Prussia, Collegeville area. And then the board asked me to step on and become the next director for CEF. So we've had a fun time, but we're back here, back in Chester County. We were both raised here in Chester County, Ocarrera grads, Ocarrera Area High School, if you guys know where that's out in Acklen. And my folks are in Honeybrook. Sarah's folks are in Parksburg. So it's really a return back to where we started. So I want to, like I said, I want to thank you guys for your support. CEF is reaching nearly 600 kids each year with the gospel throughout Chester County. So we have, it's amazing. So, and you guys play a big part of that. All of our churches do. And individuals. So, in fact, I met some this morning who came and said, oh, you know, I give to CEF. And so it was really neat to kind of put names and faces together, especially since I just stepped into the role in September. So I'm still getting used to, you know, who folks are, getting to meet our supporters. So thank you guys so much for that. This morning, I want to preach much like we teach the kids, with God's word, storytelling, and questions that really draw us in. So you'll see this morning I put up some slides. They look, you know, something that you would use when we're doing our clubs. And so I wanted to give you guys a little taste of what it's like. So this morning I'm going to pretend that you're kindergartners through fifth graders a little bit. So I'm going to present it a little bit in that way. Maybe some of us still are, right? Every lesson that we do is told as a story, It's gospel-centered and centered around a really clear biblical truth. So, for example, this morning, God is generous toward us, and our relationship with him is based upon his generosity. So when we teach our lessons, all of our lessons also include involvement helps, which are really neat, and the kids love it. It's a good way. We're really aware that not every kid learns the same way. So, for example, when we teach the story of Lazarus, when Jesus calls Lazarus to life, you know, raises him again, and he comes out and they say to unwrap Lazarus. We have the kids unwrap Lazarus with us. So it's fun. It's just a way to kind of engage them and draw them into the story. So it includes involvement helps all of our lessons. We also really want it to apply what the kids are hearing to both kids who belong to Christ and then kids who are apart from Christ. You know, how does God's word apply to them and to their lives? Every team that we have is trained to spiritually counsel children. So with that said, let's begin this morning the same way that we often begin with our children, which is with a question. What good thing must we do to get eternal life? What good thing must we do to get eternal life? Maybe you share that question with the young man that we're going to read about this morning. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 16. So you'll see our pictures here. These are like the pictures we might use in some of our clubs as we talk with the kids to just visually kind of engage them. So one day, a rich young Jewish leader, he sets out to find Jesus and ask him this question. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Even though he's young, his mind is on eternal matters. Jesus tells him, go sell your belongings and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Jesus lovingly exposed the God of his heart, his stuff, his possessions, his wealth, and called him to repentance. Jesus was calling him to do a U-turn. Jesus was saying, you can't serve me and your stuff. Follow me. Jesus then said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were stunned and they asked Jesus a question in return. Who then can be saved? These are questions that we all face, every single person. How can we be saved? And how can we gain eternal life and peace with God? How does that happen? Well, CEF Chester County is all about bringing God's hope, real questions kids face. Questions about life and death and what comes next. Death is scary, even more so for children. They hear about it. They go to funerals, a loved one passes, and they wonder what's going to happen next when I die. What happens? They try to figure it out. We get to share with children the living hope that's found in Jesus, the one who's the resurrection and the life. We get to share that hope with them and talk with them about it. For 75 years, our mission, CEF, has never changed. It's steady. And that is, we are all about reaching boys and girls for Jesus, helping them grow in their faith, and then helping them to connect with gospel-centered churches. That's what we're about. And we're really, you could say, two-pronged in our focus, evangelism and discipleship. And one of our main tools is what we call our After School Good News Club. And you'll see here a picture from one of our clubs. Right when the final bell rings, kids are dismissed to our club. This year, we hosted 9 public school After School Good News Clubs. On average, we have 25 to 30 kids that come out per club, which is awesome. In fact, 2 of our clubs, Twin Valley Elementary and French Creek Elementary, are 10 minutes from you guys. In total this year, we reached nearly 300 children, and 30 of them prayed to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior this year. That's awesome. Your church, and you might not feel like it all the time, but I want to let you know sincerely, your church has played a big role in making that happen through your support and generosity. Your donations, they go to resource clubs, train volunteers, and send the gospel into schools. So Encourage is making a huge impact. You might not see it, but you're making an impact throughout Chester County in the lives of kids. Thank you so much for that. CEF, we're a mission-driven ministry. We're laser-focused on meeting kids right where they are. And every child is the hope that's found in Jesus. At a time when fewer people identify as Christian or fewer people attend church, we're really passionate about partnering with local churches to reach the next generation. Now, how do we do that? And what we're really good at is we say we're going to go to wherever the kids are at, whether that's a school, a park, a neighborhood, a backyard. We're going to meet the kids on their turf. And so that's our focus. We're not trying in any way to replicate the church. We believe that the church is unique and has been ordained by God. And we see it throughout the whole New Testament. We want to come alongside the local church and partner with the local church in reaching kids and families throughout Chester County. So what's our, you might ask, what's our dream? It's to see church teams adopt their local elementary school, pray for it, show up there, sharing Jesus with the kids inside. And we have a huge goal. Our goal is to double our reach, to go from 9 to 18 schools in 3 years, and go from reaching 300 to 600 kids each year through our after-school clubs. With our camps, that would be in 3 years, our goal is to reach somewhere between 900 to 1,000 kids throughout Chester County. And so be praying for us as we shoot for the stars here. I love William Carey. He said something. He said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. So the rich young ruler, let's get back to him, and the disciples were asking life's biggest questions. How do we gain eternal life? How can we be saved from God's judgment? So in response to this, Jesus tells a parable. That is a short, memorable story that uses everyday imagery to reveal deeper spiritual truths. So his parables often challenge assumptions, reveal God's character, and invite us to reflect on the kingdom of God. So when reading a parable, it's key to focus on the message and not try to assign meaning to every detail in the parable. So with that, if you're at Matthew 19, let's just jump down to chapter 20. One day, really early in the morning, a vineyard owner woke up and he had a big job ahead and needed help. So he went out to hire workers. Now, these day laborers needed a job. What they really needed was just money to put food on the table for their families. How many of us have perhaps been there before? These were paycheck to paycheck kind of families, kinds of guys, right? So he finds some workers and he agrees to pay them a fair standard day's wage and he sends them into his vineyard for the day. At about 9 a.m., he realizes he needs some more help. So he goes back out to the marketplace, and this is where the town's business was done and where the job seekers would be. And he sees a group of guys just standing around and approaches them. And he's like, hey, are you guys looking for work? You guys need work for the day? Yeah, yeah. He's like, all right, well, I have a vineyard and I need some more workers. So he sends them to his vineyard. What's interesting is they don't agree on a wage. The vineyard owner says, I'll give you whatever's right. So off they go to work. At about noon and 3 p.m., the vineyard owner goes out again, does the same thing. What I think is really interesting about this parable is we see the vineyard owner going out seeking and finding. Now, in our story, it's about 5 p.m. It's almost the end of the day, and there's only about an hour left to the workday. He goes back out, and he finds more guys standing around not working. And he goes up to them, and he says, why are you guys standing around? Why have you been sitting here all day not doing any work? And the workers say, well, nobody hired us. So the vineyard owner says, all right, I got a job for you guys. Go out into my vineyard and get to work. So off they go. They go into his vineyard. At 6 p.m., the vineyard owner calls his foreman over and says to him, call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first. So when those who were hired at 5 o'clock were paid, they were each paid for a full day's of work, for the whole day, even though they just worked 1 hour. When I read this story, like, who wouldn't want to work for this guy? Work for a day or work for an hour and get paid for a day? I mean, how incredibly generous this guy is, this vineyard owner. Now, when those who were hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more because they saw the last guys and how much they got paid. But they too were also paid a day's wage and they were outraged. They were so angry about this. The first workers were okay with the last workers getting a full day's pay, but only because they thought they were going to get more. They couldn't stand to be treated equally. They were like, look at all that we did today. Look at all that we had to go through. There's no way. This isn't fair. And they're angry. They're livid. Their mindset, their thinking here was, toward the vineyard owner, either we get more or they get less. Either we get more or they get less. But a question that kind of came up as I was reading this is, would 1 hour worth of pay, would that really help a desperate worker feed his family? And the answer is no. And yet the first workers didn't really care. They were thinking, as long as I get mine, I don't really care about what these need. I just care about myself. And as I consider their attitude here, I think how unlike our God. God is generous. He sees our needs, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, emotional, and he acts. We're like day laborers, living paycheck to paycheck. dependent on someone's mercy. And if we aren't chosen, we don't eat. We perish. And the landowner in Jesus' parable represents God. He goes out seeking the overlooked. He provides not based on performance or time served or merit, but out of his generous heart. God is rich in mercy. He doesn't want any to perish. He meets our deepest needs, not because we've earned it, but because he's good. And if you belong to God, I want you to know that your Father in heaven cares about you, and he will faithfully, abundantly, generously care for you. Now, a question that I ask myself and for you guys is, do you empathize with the first workers at all? Do you feel like maybe they have a point? Well, let's look at how the vineyard owner in Jesus' story responds. So he replies to one of the workers and he says, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me to work for the standard wage? Take what's yours and go. I want to give to this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I'm generous? Are you jealous because I'm generous?" Sometimes, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a birthday party where, I'm sure you have been, with kids, and like, you know, you have a group of kids around, and that one kid whose birthday it is gets the birthday presents, and all the other kids are like, "But where's my present? Don't I get anything?" You know, and so this one kid is, you know, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles are so generously giving gifts, and all the other kids are starting to get jealous because of that generosity. Well, these guys, the workers, they're jealous, but this jealousy really starts to turn into an attitude of entitlement, because we see them get outraged and anger. And anger is really the perception of injustice. We get angry because we perceive that there's an injustice that's happening. So these workers, they say, "But look at all we've done. We work the whole day under the hot sun. This is not right." And their jealousy turns to entitlement. And I think, you know, as I think about the vineyard owner, he said, "Here's your pay. Like, take what's yours and go." If you're here today, right, these vineyard owners or these workers, they're day laborers. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So the fact that they got hired at all by this vineyard owner is incredibly generous. And it reminds me that if we've been called by God and he has saved us, we are receivers of grace. I think this passage, it invites us and to come away from jealousy, to come away from entitlement, and to be thankful, to receive from God, to look at how generous he's been and how he's saved us, and invites us to be thankful, to receive from him, be thankful and be content. So if we just step back a little further, we just ask some questions. What do these verses really reveal to us about God's nature and about his character? What does it reveal about ourselves? Have you ever felt that kind of jealousy before, or envy? And what do you do with that sort of jealousy, with that envy? What do you do with those feelings? We can argue often with God about fairness when God is trying to get our ear about his generosity. Jesus finishes with a piercing truth, one designed to make us reflect. He says this, "So the last will be first, and the first last." How unexpected. We would say the first are first and the last are last, right? Our motto, first come, first served. But God's kingdom principles, his culture, his way, it goes against our grain. If we are to know God and live in his kingdom, we need to renew our thinking. So what is Jesus teaching us about God's kingdom here and about obtaining salvation, about life with God? So as I considered these questions, at least how it hit me was that we live in a merit-based, right? You do more, you get more. You work harder, you earn more. And it's easy for that kind of mindset to shape how we view God and how we relate to him, how we believe we're made right with him and our position in his family. You know, you think, well, it's based on performance. But God's generosity, his goodness, and ultimately his grace, it doesn't work that way. And in Matthew 19, when Jesus says it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, the disciples ask him this question, then who can be saved? They assumed that the rich young ruler who seemed righteous and successful, they thought they looked at this guy and they were like, this guy, he reads God's word, he studies it, he memorizes it, and look at how well he's doing. Look at how successful he is. If there's a guy who gets eternal life based performance, it's this guy. And the disciples were like, if this guy can't get in, who then can be saved? Well, like them, you know, we, whether, you know, Christian or not, often relate to God based on merit. Let's see. Progressing. You want to hit it forward? Just one? There we go. Thanks. So like them, we Christian or not often relate to God based on merit, right? We can have an entitlement attitude. You think you ought to be generous with me, God. Maybe we don't say that out loud because we feel like I would never say that out loud to God, but our attitude might reflect this. And I could think of three ways that this is often revealed. One, in suffering. You know, we might say to God in our suffering, look at all that I've done. Look at all that I've done. Don't I deserve better? Second way I thought of that it can kind of come up, then blessing. When others are blessed, we might think, why them and not me? Why them and not me? And these actions or reactions, I think, can reveal a deeper belief of entitlement that's there as we relate with God, that God somehow owes us. The third way I thought about how it can be revealed is in response to failure. Our response to others' perceived or real failure. You know, do we condemn other people? And as I asked myself that question, I immediately want to bring my legal counsel forward to defend myself. But do you know who I think would really tell us this? At least I think about it, is are my friends and family. You know, to ask them how I make them feel when they fail. Do they feel like I'm perched up high, condemning them? Or do they feel grace and mercy and forgiveness flow from Christ through me to them? Do we also see ourselves as sinners in need of God's daily grace? grace. We don't need grace just one time. We need grace multiple times every single day. And to receive it from the vineyard owner, from God. Now, all this isn't to say that living faithfully doesn't matter. You know, Scripture promises rewards for those who follow Christ wholeheartedly. And it's right to come away from this and say, well, because God has been so generous with me, how is he calling me to be generous with those in my life? Or how can I give and serve from the good gifts he's given me? You know, those are really good questions. And it's right to come away from that and to think that way and say, hey, living for God absolutely matters. But the caution is that we must never twist God's promises of rewards into a system where grace is replaced with entitlement. We have to be cautious. The good news when we look at this passage, and this is, there's beautiful news here of the gospel, is that Jesus himself, he became our day laborer. He came into the world to work on our behalf, to seek, save the lost, to bear our burden, and to die in our place on the cross. The ultimate picture of generosity and grace. He endured the heat of God's judgment. You remember how the workers complained about working under the sun and the heat? Jesus became our day laborer. He endured the heat of God's judgment so that we receive the reward of eternal life. And here's the kicker. This is a beautiful part. We receive, though we did none of the work. So we're not even like the last guys who worked for an hour. When it comes to salvation, we put 0 hours in and we get a full day's pay. Isn't that absolutely beautiful news? This morning, God invites you to stop striving and start resting in Jesus. To turn from self-reliance to Christ-reliance. Trust the generous one who did all the work for you. Like the rich young ruler, we can be concerned with the good we have to do to get eternal life when we should be focusing on the good that Christ has done for us. Instead of focusing on our goodness, we need to focus on his goodness and receive his goodness, his generosity toward us, namely Jesus and what he did on our behalf. This summer, we get to take that good news, that invitation to come to Jesus and have a relationship with him. We get to share that with children this summer in our Camp Good News. Please pray for us as we prepare to welcome over 250 kids to our July summer camps. This is an amazing opportunity to reach boys and girls for Jesus and help them grow in their faith. Our camp, parents can drop off their kids for the week at $10 per kid for the summer camp. And there's summer camps out there that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and we intentionally keep it at $10 per kid for the summer, for that week. Camps are just $10, like I said, $10. They're open to ages 4 through 5th grade. This summer, kids will discover Jesus, they'll play games, memorize scripture, worship, be inspired by missionary stories, and so much more. And one of the things that I love about camp, a key component, is that every kid gets like face-to-face time with a leader. So last year, I sat down with 2 kids, and in this time, we just get to be another adult in their life who cares for them, about them. And we just sit down with the kid, we listen, we hear their story, and we try to connect their story to God's story and share the gospel with them. hear their concerns and pray with them. And we get to do that with every kid that comes through. So think about 300 children that get that kind of attention, that type of spiritual care. And I love it. So like last year, one boy that I got to spend some time, he was dealing with fear and anxiety related to assurance. He had prayed to ask Jesus to be his savior, but he was afraid that he really, you know, what if God didn't really hear my prayer? What if it wasn't good enough? So I got to pray with him and talk with him about how we can really rest in what Jesus has done for us. That it was when Jesus said, "It is finished." What did he mean? And so I got to talk with the boy about that. I get to talk with a girl who was surfing on the internet till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because her parents had on the news and she saw and heard that someone had tried to kill President Trump. And so she started looking up, and I'm talking, this is a 9-year-old girl. She started looking up presidential assassinations till 2 a.m. She was afraid. What kind of world do I live in? Is it safe? Am I safe? And so getting to sit down with her, with this child, and pray for and with her and share God's promises and talk about how God is king and sovereign. And what does that mean? And we get to do that. We get to have those kinds of conversations because individuals and churches like encourage you guys, support us. And we just want to thank you guys for that. I love these summer camps. I love investing in our adults and our teens. You know, please pray for us, for the vision. We really want to expand into Eastern Chester County more, clubs, more camps. So be praying for us as we seek, that vision expansion. Want to thank you guys again. Thank you so much for partnering with us in prayer. And thank you guys for partnering with us financially as well. And I thought about it. You know, your guys' generosity really reflects the very grace, the generosity we talked about this morning. You guys are a picture of that. So thank you for that. Thank you for inviting me to come here and to share with you guys. And let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this amazing grace, generosity that we receive from you. It's easy for us because of what we're around and the messages that we receive through work or social media or wherever else it might be, God, where we receive messages that the more we do, the more we get. Help us not to bring that over into our relationship with you and to start living in relationship with you based on performance and merit. Help us to live based in grace, God, based in your generosity, that we would receive that grace every day. Invite us, God, help us to come into, you're inviting us to come into a place of thanksgiving, a place of contentment and gratitude. And God, I pray that we would find ourselves there. You have generously sent your son and he did all the work. He bore our sin. He paid it on the cross. He lived righteously all for us. He did all the work. And we thank you, God, that you so graciously give to us what we need as day laborers, people who are needy and desperate just to make it from one day to the next. And so we do pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. Help us each day to come to Christ, the living water, the bread from heaven. And all this we pray in your son's name. Amen.
Dad, go back real quick. Go back to the slide. And I'm not going to move off. That shows how
How many kids did you present to Christ last year? Like 300?
Oh, is that at the very beginning?
Yeah, you got it. Sorry, Gavin. I'm pointing at Gavin. Paul, go back to...
Is that here?
Yeah, reach all the... Okay, right there. So, 300 kids, 30... And I just wanted to pull it out. 30 steps of Christ, it's like a 10% return, right? Which is good. A good investment. I think that's good. So if I'm just looking at, if you go from 9 and try to hit 18, right along 23 here, we have Twin Valley, two schools, Twin Valley right off of 23. 9 and 10 miles down the other way, we have, three O&J schools right off of 23.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of kids right there, right?
Ton.
You know, a lot of. So, I know Beth Stoltz, which is your guy's sister, she has worked at the Twin Valley Elementary Center for multiple years with Good News Club. I was on the school board at Twin Valley for 13 years. And when a lot of times when you've met with families, especially the young kids, for like a disciplinary thing, you get into a world like, you know, hey, I know what's going on in my family, right? You meet with these families, with these young kids, and it's horrible. Like, these kids are in a household that is anything but, I don't even know. It's like watching a Jerry Springer type of thing. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, whoever that guy was on the, it's just chaos. The kids have no stability. So it's like coming into the school is a great thing. So I think that 18 schools would be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? So I'm assuming you're going to need prayer for more financing, and I always take that, and workers.
Yep.
Because the people that are in the schools are volunteer, right?
That's right. Yeah.
They're coming from churches.
Yep.
Okay, so while you're out there, you're also pushing for, hey, can we get people, you need help in the school.
Definitely.
Right? Okay.
Definitely.
So we'll continue to pray for that, because I think, because if we think about it or not, the spiritual realm, going back to that spiritual realm, the dimension that we don't see, blessing that we live in the United States, we have the freedom of religion. The bad side of that is, in York County, this 2 years ago, last year, whatever it was, that they started a satanic children's club.
Hmm.
Worshiping Satan, right? So we need to pray. The vision here is great. 18 schools. So we need to be praying for the 18, the goal, and 600 kids. I think that's small. I want to pray for that. And we can do more than that.
God can do way more than that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pray and just continue to pray for that on this specific topic, because our children in our country need to hear about Jesus Christ, and all across the world, right? That's the truth. But specifically, this is a local ministry that we want to really pray for. So,
do you mind if I jump in real quick and just say,
because
you were asking about volunteers, if like you or your folks, if anybody said, hey, we'd love to develop a team to reach an elementary school, our organization, we come alongside those teams, those churches, and we provide the training, the materials, the resources. And so we will come around you so that way, you know, you could take it from here to here, you know, make it a success. And the schools, God has given us a ton of favor with schools that we're in, especially Coatesville School District. But I also get to ask the question, so you can like legally have a club, like a Bible club after school? And we can. In fact, versus CEF, and it made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And essentially the ruling was, because the school opens its facilities to other clubs, that it can't discriminate based upon religion or like what the club. So it has to open up. So sometimes I haven't had to this year. And if, just 1 minute testimony, there was a school here, Kings Highway Elementary, got a new principal in, and so we typically pass out registration flyers for the Good News Clubs at the beginning of the year. And the school principal had come up from Delaware, wasn't sure if he could pass these out, and said, well, I really can't do that because of separation of church and state. And so we prayed about it. God, please help us to know the best way forward here. Talked with him a bit more. There's always, God provides like a person of peace there. And so the secretary was like, let me talk with him a bit more. He runs it up to the superintendent, and the superintendent said, no, you got to pass this out, because we pass them out for all the other clubs. So the principal comes back to us and says, not only are we going to pass these out, but I'm going to personally email every family in the school and invite them to the club. So it was like, God was, you know, we were like, oh no. And then God was like, here you go. So, yeah.
So with that, we're going to pray for labor.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's where we see people in this that are willing to step out and do stuff. So. Okay, we'll pray, and then we'll get coffee and snacks out there. Heavenly Father, we pray for this ministry, Lord. We pray for the children. My sister, it's a brutal lifestyle for them, Lord. We pray.